Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 through to verse 6. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ. You who have attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. And this morning we're just going to land in verses 1 to 5. Let's just ask God to bless our time this morning. Father, my prayer is the prayer that a man prayed a long, long time ago. And it's this: open up your word, Father, that we might see beautiful and wonderful things within it. And Lord, open up our ears, open up our hearts. And Lord, we ask this because you're the one who does that. You open up ears and hearts. You make us want to hear what you have to say. You keep us from falling asleep in church. You keep us from being bored. You keep us, Father, and keep us to hear what you would have to say this morning. And so do that, we ask, and bless our time and the word this morning. May it be just a tremendous blessing and a life-changing one as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about a very special lady for a moment or two. And her name is Lady Liberty. How many of you know who Lady Liberty is? She also goes by the name of the Statue of Liberty. She overlooks New York Harbor. And everything about this lady speaks of freedom. Of what? Of freedom. That's right. Everything about her speaks of freedom. She holds up a lamp to welcome in the nations, the oppressed nations of the world. She has 7 points on her crown, the 7 seas, the 7 continents, welcoming people from all over the earth to her. And at her feet, there lays what? Anyone know? Chain. Representing tyranny broken. At the pedestal, you may recall the famous poem written by Emma Lazarus, who invites the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The whole thing speaks of freedom. Personally, I don't know what America has to offer in terms of freedom these days. But what I do know is that there is one who promises and delivers a kind of freedom. It's a great freedom. It's perfect freedom. It is true freedom. Freedom from a guilty conscience. How about that? Freedom from the destructive power of sin. Freedom from the penalty of sin. And this is the freedom which Christ brings to a imprisoned world. It was for freedom, the Word of God says, that Christ set you free. Under God's glory, the reason why Jesus Christ came into this world to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins, to rise again, was for what? Your freedom. The thing on Christ's heart under His own glory was your freedom. It was for freedom that you have been set free. And the people that Paul was writing to, the Galatians, friends, they needed to hear about this kind of freedom because they were in trouble. There were a group of religious wingnuts called Judaizers who were coming into Galatia and who were telling these Gentile believers, these new Gentile believers in Jesus Christ, that they had to become Jewish in order to become Christians. They had to submit to the laws of the Old Testament. They had to get circumcised. They had to follow certain food laws and so forth and so on for them to become really true bona fide Christians. And Paul's pulling out his hair. And he comes to the Galatians with this letter and he says, no, that's all wrong. It's not about what you do. It's about what Christ has done. And the way to receive this amazing gift of freedom is by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And it's in this freedom that Paul tells us this morning to stand firm. To what? To stand firm. That's right. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, the freedom by which Christ has set you free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage by those laws. Stand firm. Stand fast. You know what that means? It means stay free. It means continue on in your freedom. Don't get bound. Don't give yourself to that kind of imprisonment again. Stay free. The amazing thing is that Paul helps us this morning to know how to do that. And he gives us both a word of warning as well as a word of encouragement to help us to stay free. Look, if you're free, you want to stay that way, right? Well, Paul helps us this morning in these verses to stay free. First, a word of warning. The word of warning is this. You can't earn God's favor, so don't try to work for it. You can't earn God's favor, so don't try to work for it. Here's a test. I want you to score yourself out of 1 to 100. If you were to die today, if you were to go out of here and find yourself in a tragic car accident, if you had a brain aneurysm, if you just died, if you just killed over and died today, how sure would you be that God would let you into His heaven? If you died today, out of 100, how sure would you be that God would let you into His heaven? You got the number? Some of you are like, I'm really not too sure at all. Emma's got a number in mind. Okay. And some of you probably have a number, and some of you probably have varying degrees, higher degrees of assurance. Some of you, do you have that number, by the way? Some of you are like, I'm almost 90% sure that I would get into heaven. I'm 99% sure that God would welcome me into heaven. I'm almost there. And my question to you this morning is, how come it's not 100%? Why aren't you 100% sure that if you died today, that God would welcome you into heaven? What do you say to that? Well, it's because I've got sin in my life, right? That's why it's not 100%. So let me ask you this. If you had less of that stuff, if you had less sin in your life, would you be more sure that you would go to heaven? Yeah, I think I would be. And what that reveals, I think, is this, that there still lurks within your hearts this notion that getting to heaven relies in part, and maybe in a large part, on what you do, on how obedient you are to God's law. I'm going to get to heaven by what I do, by being a good person, by being obedient. That's how I'm going to get to heaven. And Paul comes along and says this morning in this letter, wrong. Wrong. And you can go to here this morning and think to yourself, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven because I've been a good person. But you're not going to leave this morning thinking that that's what the Bible teaches, because it straight up does not teach that. And if that's the road you want to take, then you need to hear what God's Word has to say on that matter. If you're trying to earn God's favor by being a good person, by being obedient, am I clear? You can't do it. But if you try to do it, Paul says this, then you've got to keep the whole law, the whole enchilada, the whole thing, the whole law, all of God's commandments. Paul says this, verse 3, look down your Bibles. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You know what a debtor is? Some of you are like, I know what a debtor is. I know what a debtor is. Some of you have house debt, car debt, credit card debt, line of credit debt. You've got debt, debt, debt. Some of you are in debt up to here, aren't you? You've got huge debt. You know what it is to be in debt. You know what it is to have an obligation to repay somebody, don't you? And Paul says this, if you choose to win or earn God's favor by keeping the law, then you become a debtor. That is, you have an obligation to keep the entire law of God. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, let's start with the Ten Commandments. You know those, don't you? The Ten Commandments. You have got to keep all those. Well, I do a pretty good job, you say it that well. No, I'm not asking if you're doing a pretty good job. I'm saying you've got to do it perfectly. That means this. You can never have told a lie. You can never have taken something that doesn't belong to you. You can never have wanted something that belonged to somebody else. You can never, ever have thought of sleeping with somebody that wasn't your spouse. Okay? Just to start with. I mean, if you've broken any of those laws, then you've blown it with God. Okay? Because if you try to take this road of earning God's favor by obeying His laws, God says you've got to keep all my laws all the time and perfectly. And if you mess up once, that's it. That's it. In fact, it's worse than that because the Bible teaches, cursed, which is damned, is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Did you hear that? What does God require of you if you choose the path of obedience to earn God's favor, to getting good with God, to getting His good graces by keeping the law of God? What does He require? Total 100% obedience to every single law. No mistakes, no faults, no mess ups. That's what God demands. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because He's a holy God and heaven's a holy place. And God will not let unholiness and evil and sin into His holy heaven. It won't happen. It won't work. You say, well, I'm really not sure about that. I think when God sees me, he's a great old fella. And He's going to be, forgiving and merciful. I mean, he's like that, isn't He? You want to bank on that? You have as much chance of getting into heaven with that mindset as trying to get across the U.S. border without any ID. How many of you tried that? How many of you actually got in your cars and driven down the States? You knew you didn't have any ID and you thought to yourself, well, you know what? I'm sure that they're just going to let me in there. I'm positive. I mean, you know, I'm a good person. I'm not a terrorist. And you got down there and they're like, where is your ID? So, well, I don't have any, but I'm a good person. You're not getting in. And some of you have tried that. I know. I've got phone calls from you at the border saying, come help me out, do something. Can't help you. And so it is with God. If you think you're going to get to heaven and stand before God without holiness, without perfect holiness, and God's going to say, well, you know what? Yeah, it really wasn't a big deal. Yeah, you took a little, you stole a little, you coveted, you lusted, you murdered, you did this, you did that. You know, let's bygones be bygones. Let's just shuffle that under the carpet and welcome into my holy heaven. It ain't going to happen. Not with a holy God. And so you see, if you think that you can earn God's favor by keeping the law of God, you ought to think about that again, unless you are prepared to keep the entire law of God all the time and do it perfectly. Not a good idea. Listen, people live in that kind of life and it is tyranny. You ever work for somebody where if you mess up just once, you're gone? No mistakes, no failures. You do it, you're out of here. That is total a tyranny. And oppression. That's no way to live. That is not the freedom that Christ has brought us in this life. It was for freedom that Christ came to set us free. Don't be living like that. That's tyranny. That's horrible. Don't do that. So don't do that. But here's another reason why you should not even bother to try and earn God's favor by working. And it's this. If you do, Jesus Christ will be of absolutely no benefit to you. Did you get that? He will be of no benefit to you. If you choose the path of obedience, if you try to earn it, then Jesus Christ will be of absolutely no benefit to you whatsoever. These Judaizers, these religious wingnuts that I was talking about earlier, they had come in and were saying, you've got to become Jewish to become Christian. You've got to keep the law plus faith in Jesus Christ to win God's favor. And Paul says this, if you do that, then Christ means nothing. He counts for nothing. you can kiss Christ goodbye. He will avail nothing. Look down at your Bibles, verse 2. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, which means they probably weren't, but we're thinking about it. If you become circumcised, he says, Christ will profit you what? Nothing. Look down at verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ, alienated from Christ. You who attempt to be justified, that is, to be made right, to get right with God by keeping the law, you have fallen from grace. What happens if you think you can earn God's favor by what you do? What happens if you think you can put a smile on God's face by keeping the law? What happens? Christ avails nothing. He profits nothing to you. Count him out. You see, well, hold on for a second here. I distinctly remember the Bible teaching something about once saved, always saved. Remember that? And doesn't the Bible say that nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? So why is Paul coming along here and saying to these believers in Galatia that you've fallen from grace? Paul's not talking about our eternal security in Jesus Christ in this passage. He talks about that elsewhere, but not here. What he's saying is this, that a life of obedience that tries to earn God's favor is incompatible with a life of free grace. And so that to try and earn it is to disconnect yourself and to stop the grace of God flowing in your lives. Does that make sense to you? That's what Paul's saying here. You're trying to earn it this morning, then you're disconnecting yourself from Christ and from the fellowship that brings grace into your lives. The two things can't go together. There is no unity there. There's no harmony between law keeping for God's favor and the grace that He freely gives out to all who simply trust in Jesus Christ by faith. A life of legalism, as theologians call it, trying to earn it, is antithetical, incompatible with a life of grace flowing freely to His beloved children. Do you get that? And so if you try to earn it, then Christ will be of absolutely no benefit to you whatsoever. The two things don't go together. You don't actually get nearer to God by trying to earn His favor by keeping laws. That's the irony. We do. We think that. If I just keep these laws, I'm going to get close to God. And God will ultimately let me into heaven. Don't we think this way? But you know what? That's absurd. It's like this. How many of you have ever been driving along and you get to a set of lights and you've actually overshot the line a bit. So you've got to put the car into reverse and you just sort of, you know, go back a bit. And you sit there for the light to turn green. Only you forget to put the car in drive. And when the light turns green, what do? You hit the gas and you shoot backwards, don't you? You think you're going to go in one direction. The reality is you're actually going in another. And the same is true of trying to earn God's favor. You don't get closer to God by keeping the law. You actually, what? Start moving further away from Him. If you try to do it this way, friends, then it ain't going to work. And Christ will benefit you nothing. You've got to keep the whole law, and Christ will benefit you nothing. Listen, that's just stupid. Okay, can we just settle that right here, right now? That trying to earn God's favor by being a good person and doing all the right things is just stupid. It's dumb. It doesn't work. God breathes against it. And Paul is warning you this morning. Don't do it. Did you get that? Don't do it. Not smart, not wise. Won't get you anywhere quick. Okay? Can we just agree to that, that that's what Paul's teaching? Okay, so don't leave here this morning saying to yourself, well, I can do good things and get to heaven. You can do that, go away thinking that, but you're not going to go away this morning thinking that that's what the Bible teaches. It straight up does not, okay? So you're warned. How about a word of encouragement? Paul gives us a word of encouragement here. And the word of encouragement is this. You're going to experience God's full favor. So wait for it. You're going to experience God's full favor. So wait for it. All right? And the Bible is very clear about something. It says this, that you're going to die. And then it teaches this, that you're going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Okay. Hebrews chapter 9, it has been appointed for men to die once, but afterwards the judgment. Romans 14:10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. And you're like, I don't think I want to do that. I don't want to be there. Well, you know what? You're going to be there. Everyone is going to stand before the judgment seat of God. You say, well, that makes me afraid. That scares me. It's interesting because Paul says this. If you look down in your Bibles in verse 5. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, Paul's talking about the time when we're going to go and see God and stand before Him and spend all eternity with Him. And he says this, we eagerly wait for that. We're very excited about that. We want to experience that. We want to go and we want to see God. You say, well, how can that be? Because you've got sin in your life, right? How can you as a sinful person get excited about going to see God, standing before God, this great holy God? I mean, how can Paul be saying we eagerly await this? Any ideas? Well, Paul tells us right here. Look down in your Bibles again. We through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What's hope? Hope is looking forward with confidence to something great. Okay? And Paul calls it the hope of righteousness. Someone's righteousness is creating, is producing this hope. You say, well, whose? It definitely isn't yours, is it? It's not mine. The Word of God says that our holiness, our righteousness is as filthy rags before a holy God. Here's the great thing. You want to know whose righteousness it is? Any ideas? It's the righteousness of God. It's the righteousness that God gives. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is the righteousness which He displayed in His life, in His time here on earth. And it's that righteousness which God makes over, which He declares to sinners, which He reckons to them, which He accounts to them, even though they have not done everything that the law requires. Can you get that? Jesus Christ comes into this world not only to die the penalty for sins, but to live a perfect life and to give people His righteousness so that we can stand before a holy God and not fear, but actually look forward to meeting with Him. Can you believe that? And that's the hope of righteousness, so that in this life we're not biting our nails and freaking out and worrying about standing before God. Why? Because we know that when we stand before God, that Jesus Christ is going to say to the Father, but my righteousness. It'll be that righteousness, friends, that covers us. It'll be that righteousness, I'm telling you, that is going to bring us into the full experience of God's favor like you have never known. I mean, do you believe that God's face is shining on you this morning through Jesus Christ? Do you know that favor and that blessing and His presence? I'm telling you right now, you barely have a clue about how great it's going to be when you see God. The pure in heart will see God, and you will know God's full, unmitigated, pure pleasure streaming and beaming upon you, and how that will fill our souls with such delight, such rapturous pleasures forevermore. Amazing. And right now we are eagerly waiting for that experience. You ever look forward to a great day? Yeah. When I was a young boy, I looked forward to a day. I didn't play ice hockey growing up. I mean, not in an arena. I'd watch a lot of it on TV, and I really liked it a lot. And I remember one day I was given the opportunity to actually play in a real arena. And some friends had scabbed together some equipment for me. And I was there, and
I was just beside myself with excitement. I mean, I was there up at 6 o'clock in the morning. The game wasn't until 10 o'clock. And I was just walking around the table in my kitchen like this. Just, I didn't know what to do. I was so excited about getting to the arena and playing in a real arena. And I'm telling you, friends, that we should have that kind of excitement when it comes to the last day, the standing before God. And we are excited, not because we have a righteousness to show God, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been imputed to our account, our standing before God. And that just fills our hearts to overbrimming with excitement as we wait eagerly for the hope of righteousness. You say, well, how exactly do we wait for this? Well, Paul tells us, he says, by faith. How do you wait? You wait by faith. That's right. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to verse 17. We're going to show you just amazingly how it is that we can wait and wait eagerly for the hope of righteousness. And I'm telling you, friends, a few passages have lit my fire, have set me free, like this passage in Romans 1, verses 16 to 17. This will take a minute or two with this. And Paul is saying here that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto glorification, unto getting to heaven for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Why? How is the gospel the power of God to get us to glory? He tells us, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness of God, the righteousness that Christ achieved by his own obedience to the law of God in our place. And that righteousness is revealed every single day to the people of God. So that as we look at that righteousness, as we behold that righteousness, something happens. What? Our faith is strengthened from faith to faith. And we don't lose heart on our way to glory or on our way to Zion. We don't throw up our hands and say, how can I ever get before a holy God? We don't do that. We keep our eyes on Christ and on his righteousness that streams from glory day by day. And on that basis, we move forward in confidence, eagerly waiting the hope of righteousness. Amen. This is the gospel, friends. And this is the gospel for everyone here this morning. That though we have fallen short, though we've blown it with God, that God has sent his Son Jesus Christ into this world to die for us and to cover us with his own righteousness, that we might be accepted to God and God's favor might stream down upon us. Isn't that amazing? And as we keep looking at this day by day, our hearts are fueled and charged up, and we can put one foot in front of the other and not grow weary and not despair of never reaching the celestial city. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the Apostle Paul says. I'm not ashamed of it at all. And then he says, through the Spirit, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. How is it that you just keep on believing? How is it that you're here this morning if you're in Christ and you just still believe? You didn't actually think that was you, did you? That was the Spirit of God working in your life, igniting and energizing faith, a faith to keep on believing, to keep Christ focused in your life. This is his work in your heart, in your life, so that you keep on waiting for that great day and doing it without fear, with excitement, with eagerness, with anticipation. That's a complete work of God on our part. I'm telling you this morning that when you start looking that way and start waiting in that way, and when you surrender that idea that I've got to work for it, I've got to earn it, and instead you just start waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith, I'm telling you, that's when you really learn to live free, isn't it? It is. How many of you have ever had to appear before a judge for doing something wrong? And you knew that you had done something wrong, and you knew that it wasn't going to go well with you. How excited were you to appear before that judge? Not very, right? And for just reason. I'm telling you this morning, if you're here And the thought of appearing before God terrifies you. And if you know that after hearing the word this morning that God is not going to accept even the very best things that you do because He's so holy, if that strikes terror into your hearts, then great. And I pray that God would use that to humble you and to break you and to cause you to look away from everything that you do and start looking on everything that Christ has already done for you and receive Him, and to receive Him by faith. Faith alone. And so I just want to appeal to you this morning. If you think it's by what you do, then this morning I just want to encourage you to lay that thinking down and to walk away from it and say, that's not what you teach, God. And I want to encourage you to pick up this. Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To say, I can't do what needs to be done to get to heaven. I need Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. I need His blood, which forgives my sins. I need His righteousness, which will make me acceptable to You. I need that, and I receive it by faith. And I would just say this, that needs to be done today. Because you don't know if you've got tomorrow. You don't know if you've got tonight. And you would need to do that, I think. And that would be a smart thing to do. And more than that, friends, it would be to begin a life of freedom right here, right now. A life of true freedom. And if you're in Christ, if you've been set free, then listen to this. Stay free. Okay? Stay free. And don't allow yourself to be captivated by bondage again. Don't think that you've got to earn it. Get away from that line of thinking. And start remembering this, that all that you need has already been given to you through Jesus Christ. You have been set free. And so stay free. Stay free. It was for freedom that Christ came and set you free. So stay there, okay? Just stay there. Amen? Amen. Well, Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for this word of direction, of warning and encouragement. And I pray, God, that the hearts of Your people would know this freedom. That all who are here this morning would know this freedom. And Father, that as lives are set free, as they taste the joy of this freedom, as Christ becomes everything to them, that we will walk in this life not afraid of meeting You, but looking forward to it. And Father, remembering that Jesus Christ has done everything that we need to meet with You. To meet with You right now, and to meet with You on that day when You say that everybody will see You. Lord, I pray that we will see You and see You with delight and joy, and not shrink back in horror and terror before a holy God. And Father, for Your people, I pray that they would just learn to stay free and to enjoy the freedom that Christ has given them. Freedom from a guilty conscience, from its penalty, from its power. Lord, help us to know that power today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.